free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Reza Memari is an author and director, as well as co-managing director and co-founder of Telescope Animation. His award-winning animated feature film, Richard the Stork, had its world premiere at the Berlin International Film Festival in 2017 and was a global success. His new feature film, The Last Well Singer, will be released in cinemas worldwide in 2026. As a former manager in the games industry, Reza has extensive background in entertainment marketing and game development. He is an alumnus of the Academy for Children's Media and Berlinale Talents, as well as a member of the German and European Film Academies. We talked to Reza via video call for this interview. Reza, welcome back.
Hi, Christine, how are you?
Good. And this time we're doing our Deep Dive Genre podcast. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us again, because I know that right now you're very busy. We're doing a deep dive into your second full-length feature film, The Last Well Singer, which is coming to German cinemas on the 12th of February. We'll start with a couple of general questions and then we'll start the deep dive.
All right, let's do it.
Can you tell us a bit about your journey to becoming a director?
So my journey started actually in games. I was in games. I was a marketing person years ago, and I was kind of feeling unfulfilled marketing other people's stories in games. And I was like, what did I always want to do as a child? And then I remembered that I wanted to tell stories. So I basically quit my job and started as an editor, video and film editor. Okay. And taught myself to use Avid back then, and became an editor and was editing for 10 years. Wow. And in that time, basically, I worked with a lot of DOPs and directors and screenwriters and producers, and kind of learned how to speak in that language and how to be a therapist to directors and producers, because editors are therapists, and started coming up with my own kind of short film ideas and started experimenting with short films.
Yeah.
And from there, basically, I came up with my first animated feature film script, which was Richard the Stork. In America, it's called A Stork's Journey. In Germany, it's called Überflieger. So that production basically became my debut feature and my start in animation.
Mm-hmm. And well, you just mentioned that you came up with a story for Richard. Do you always write your own stories, or how do you choose them, or how do you choose to commit to a project?
So far, I've been writing only my own stories that I've also wanted to direct. My role is shifting a little bit since Richard the Stork. I started my own production company with my friend, the producer, Maite Wokak, and Telescope Animation now has more than just my projects.
Yeah.
We have many other writers, and I'm basically also kind of creative directing other people's projects, reading other people's projects, and helping where I can. But for me personally, what I'm looking for in a story is that it speaks to my heart and that it is a question that I really want to answer for myself. It has to be like a big personal question that I'm interested in, because in animation, you work so long on a project that this question needs to be very, very mysterious so that it can keep you going for many, many years.
Obviously, your first movie was about a stork. And now we're dealing with a whale.
It's a sparrow who thinks he's a stork.
Of course.
Yeah.
So tell us how you came up with the story for The Last Whale Singer. What was the inspiration?
Yeah, like you said, my first film was Richard the Stork, where it's like a sparrow who thinks he's a stork and has this unbelievable confidence in himself, as if he's the biggest bird on the block, and he can even go all the way to Africa and all this stuff. And while I was making this film, I was watching a documentary about whales, and it kind of was a coincidence. One afternoon, that documentary talked about the song of humpback whales and how it's such a mystery that nobody really knows why they sing and that there is a singer role in humpback tribes that are the singers of each tribe, and that these singers have the same songs and they listen to other singers across the world and learn from each other's song and implement pieces of it was just fascinating. It's a really fascinating subject matter, and it's still a mystery.
Yeah.
And I watched that and I was like, how come that nobody has made any film or anything about these whale songs? And it was just such a mystery and such a fantastic story to me that I immediately saw, because I was making a film about a very confident sparrow, I immediately saw a gigantic whale with zero confidence. So I was like, let's go the other direction. Let's explore a different dynamic about insecurity, about needing to find your voice, needing to find your song. That's what was the initial spark of the project.
Animation has turned out to be quite a successful genre in Germany in the last decade, well, even longer. And it sells really well internationally. Nevertheless, like you mentioned, it takes a long time to get a project sort of from start to finish. That also obviously means there are higher budgets. How did you find the funds and your producing partners for this budget? I mean, how tricky was that, or how easy was that?
It was just as tricky as you can imagine. I mean, you said it yourself. It's one of the hardest, I would say, things to do is to start an animation project, because they are so expensive and you never know if you're going to actually reach the green light.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, because I think we were coming from Richard the Stork, which was a pretty big success internationally.
Yeah,
I think people were very excited to see what my next thing would be. And of course, with our new company and Maite and me kind of launching into this very energetically, I think that helped. But we also got huge support. That was the really big first step, I would say, in getting it financed, was that we got selected in the Outstanding Films for Children initiative, Der besondere Kinderfilm in German. It's a very, very cool, special thing that basically honors original storytelling for children. And they don't want brands. They don't want anything that's based on any children's book or anything that's already known.
No IP.
No IP, which is so damn rare nowadays. And it still exists. So I can highly recommend to anyone who's listening to this that if they have a children's story that is actually from the perspective of a child, to really check it out. Their support meant that we immediately basically had access to all the funders in Germany and all the broadcasters in Germany all at once. Because what happens then is that they decide amongst themselves, based on our outlook on where we want to make the movie, where we want to spend the money in Germany, they basically decide who will join the project as a funder and as a broadcaster.
Okay.
So I would say within relatively short time, within basically 2 years, we went from treatment to financing in Germany.
Okay.
Which is really unheard of,
yeah.
I would say. But that was really amazing. And then came the, I would say, harder part of finding the money in the co-production countries, Canada and Czech Republic. Because they were waiting for our go.
Okay.
And as soon as we were financed, they had to start getting themselves financed. And so that took another, I think, 2 years.
Okay.
And then we started financing for real in 2020 and started production in 2020, summer 2022.
You mentioned that you worked with an Unreal Engine on this project.
Yes.
If I'm correct, you're also developing a TV series based on the characters and a game. Can you tell us a bit more how you and Maite, how you approached the story universe?
We started off with just the film.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as, because I come from games, as soon as kind of it clicked in my brain that we could try using Epic's Unreal Engine, which is this game engine, to make the movie, because it was becoming technologically so advanced that you could make an animated film with it.
Yeah.
But it was relatively untested back then. But as soon as we kind of made that choice and built our studio on around this technology, it kind of became possible to think a little bit bigger and think of, well, this is the ocean. This is a humpback whale who's, you know, saving the oceans. You can do so much more with this story core or high concept core. And then we kind of came up with, you know, a series that is for a slightly younger audience, more children than the family audience for the film. We basically said, okay, let's make the series a little bit younger and let's develop a game for a little bit of an older audience and let's connect all the storylines in some shape or form so that each project can live on its own, but they all speak to each other so that if you watch one thing and you watch another thing, you get a little bit more in depth of this world and of these characters.
Yeah.
And a different angle of the characters and of the world. That's how we're kind of slowly growing our now IP, even though it was an original project at the beginning. And basically, we're already actually, I've just finished the treatment for the second Whale Singer feature film. We just got screenplay funding, so we're just about to start the screenplay for the second film to get going as soon as we can.
Talking about singing, how did you approach the music part of the story? Because obviously, you know, it's not unimportant.
Yeah, that was a very long journey, to be honest, because if you heard humpback whales singing, it's beautiful, but it's not music. It's not music the way that we think of music.
Yeah, and it's very haunting and mysterious, maybe also not specifically very children's friendly, possibly.
No, exactly. And it doesn't sound like music to our ears. So for the longest time, we were like, okay, what is it? And I didn't want a musical. I was very sure that I didn't want songs with like words or like pop music or anything like that because we're talking humpback whales. And to me, it didn't do them justice to have anything that is like too ha-ha-ha lighthearted because they have a certain built-in grandiosity and like also heaviness in a way, some kind of a sadness even. So together with the composer, I should say, the composer of the score is Daniel Bjarnason, an amazing Icelandic classical composer and who has never done animation. And that's what kind of attracted me to him because I was looking for somebody who doesn't have this kind of animation idea of what a score should sound like. I wanted a real classical score. And we came up with opera. So he found a really seasoned Icelandic opera singer for the father, a whale singer, and for the main character whale singer, we found a pop star, Ásgeir from Iceland, who's actually quite up and coming now. And Ásgeir was so kind to give us his voice for the singing parts of our hero, Vincent. And it's just like, it's beautiful. It's just the most beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm. What was your biggest learning or takeaway from this project?
Definitely one of my takeaways is that, you know how in production, in film, you always say, we'll fix it later, we'll fix it in post, or we'll fix it in the next step.
Yeah.
And they do the same thing in animation, we'll fix it in the next department, we'll push the ball forward. And I definitely was a victim of that belief that I was like, oh yeah, we'll do it later. And of course, there is no later. And then later on, you just have to like let go of it.
Yeah.
So I think one of my learnings is no, do it right away. Don't push the ball forward, even if people don't want to. I think try to fix it right away as soon as you can. Mm-hmm. Connected to this learning, my biggest second learning is to also let go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was the director on this project and I was running with Maite together, of course, Telescope, and also following through with a bunch of other projects that we're developing at the same time. So my bandwidth was already quite stretched.
Mm-hmm.
So to be too fussy and too detail-oriented in a way can be very unhealthy. So I really learned to prioritize what can I live with that is maybe like at 90% and what do I really need to be at 100%? Mm-hmm. Like what is the stuff that I have to have? Because also our budgets are limited. It's a European budget after all, and you can't go 5 revisions or 10. You can maybe go 2 revisions if you're lucky. And it's really about learning what is it that you really want and what is it that you can let go of.
Yeah.
I think that was my biggest learning on this one.
And talking about taking on multiple roles, obviously you wrote the script for The Whale Singer, but you're also the director. Was there ever a conflict between these, specifically these two roles?
All the time. Not only writer and director, but also kind of, you know.
Producer.
No, not producer. That was Maite's role. She was clearly the producer. No, but more like, I hate to say it, like the CEO of, or co-CEO with Maite.
Got it.
I literally had to sometimes just say in a call, now I'm speaking as director.
Yeah, I'm putting on my director hat.
In Germany, we say we put the hat on. So I'm now wearing my CEO hat. Now I'm wearing my writer's hat. So literally, I had to tell people whom they're talking to right now so that they understand where it's coming from.
Yeah.
So, but I wouldn't say it was a, it was not a conflict, but it was certainly complex to marry all these different personalities in one character, in one person. And also for the whole team, it was just really challenging to be careful not to kind of make my head explode with too much stuff all at once.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were very kind, and I think we managed really well to get it to the finish line intact, all in one piece.
And now going from the big pile of organizational roles back to the creative. Do you have a favorite scene from the film? And can you give our listeners a little bit of a behind-the-scenes background, maybe why it's your favorite scene?
I have to say I loved the whole film. It's so strange. I don't have a scene where I'm like, oh my God, that was the best fun. Maybe because it's not like we have live action where you're suddenly in a cool set that you haven't had before. It's all the same on the computer screen. So it's not like one scene is any different than any other scene, I would say. There is a scene, but I don't want to give away too much. There is a scene that happens in a magical realm. That was a realm that I wanted our designers to create something that we haven't seen before. That is something that is like very original to our film, and coming up with the look of this magical realm was very cool because it took many, many rounds. I'm very grateful to all the artists who stuck with me because I didn't even know what I wanted. I was like, it needs to look a certain way and now go. And just coming up with that in the end, it's just, it's one of the most moving and awesome moments in the movie, I think. But I think generally, less of a scene, but one of the most awesome parts of the production was to come up with the look. Like to come up with, in animation, you don't know exactly what you're going to get until the very end. But of course, you need to do look development beforehand so that you have a rough idea where you want to land. And to come up with that look, to look at the technology and to look at our team and to look at the budget and be like, okay, given all these three elements, what can we achieve that is world class, but still our own handwriting and still achievable? I think that was really awesome to come up with cool water. You know, water is so expensive and so hard to do. And to come up with water that is our water in some kind of special way.
Yeah.
We analyzed so much water, you have no idea, to come up with the real splash and the kind of wave that we want. So all these little things that led to the final production. I would also say working with our production designer, Sebastian Gado, was amazing because one of the things we wanted to do was to make the world colorful. If you go underwater, you know, you lose color at, I think, 10 meters because that's just how water works and that's how optics work underwater. And we wanted to do the opposite. We wanted to keep it as poppy and as colorful as possible. But then to come up with the right way of making it still believable that this is plausible, that was really quite something, and I'm so grateful that to all the team members that they put so much into making it look so gorgeous.
We've touched upon this earlier. The making of an animation film obviously takes quite a few years. And if I remember correctly from our last interview, you mentioned you're sometimes not the most patient guy. So how hard is it for you then to say goodbye to the characters and to the story when you spend so much time with them and to let them out into the world?
In this specific case, because we have the series and because I'm writing the second one and we're financing the game and all the things, we're just starting the whole merchandising.
Yeah.
So it's insane how many things we're doing all at once on the Last Whale Singer brand. And so it's not like saying goodbye at all. It's basically continuing. But given the film itself, I'm honestly so proud and I'm so ready to release it to the world now, because it's been, for me personally, it's been over almost 15 years now since I've had the idea.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, oh my God, it's time to let Vincent swim into the world and reach some hearts. So no, I'm not sad or anything. If, you know, I'm just ready. I'm ready to let it go and keep going.
Okay. And what are you hoping that the audience takes away from Vincent and his story?
The poster, or the slogan on the poster, says discover the song within. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's all about. That's what it was about from the beginning. Like that first idea is still what I want people to understand. We're all here to find our own voice. We're all here to figure out who we are. And we're all in this together, and everybody is trying to figure it out, and nobody's perfect. And the ocean is a big, big, big world, and we all feel small in that gigantic world. And finding your voice, finding your song, to me, that is what it's about. And that's really what I hope children and parents and teenagers and grandparents will all take away from this film and discuss.
Mm-hmm. And for the end, I have a few rapid-fire questions for you. Is there a particular story that you would still like to tackle?
So many. is it like just one answer, or how do you...
Well, we do have a limited amount of time.
Right. No, I mean, I think there is a lot that I can't really talk about yet, or don't want to talk about yet, because it's not official, but oh my God. I'm turning 50 now, and I only have a few more decades left, so I don't know how to make them all, but I have so many ideas.
Yeah. What would you say is the biggest misconception about the work of a director/writer in animation?
Animation is all about teamwork. Mm-hmm. It really is about teamwork. It's even more than in any other, I think, format or medium. And the misconception is, I think, that yes, it's an author film. Yes, I wrote the script, but I wrote it with many, many, many others.
Yeah.
Storyboarders were part of this. Every animator, like it, up until the last second, my work is not my work. It's a gigantic team effort. And I think that might be, in my mind, the biggest misconception. Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea what might be the biggest misconception? Okay.
You mentioned the first idea like for Vincent came like 15 years ago. So you've been at this for a few years. And has the work changed over all these years? And that can be an external change or an internal one, as in how you approach the work.
Yeah, like I mentioned, I'm turning 50 this year. And I really want to spend less time rushing and... Mm-hmm. You know, spending too much time in front of the screen, but more time, quality time, thinking and living. So for me, the work-life balance is to me the biggest part of going forward. That doesn't mean that I'm going to have less ideas or less work, but just how I approach it, I think I want to change so that I'm a little bit more efficient and a little bit less impatient, still less impatient.
And finally, can you share which project you are or will be working on next? You mentioned Whale Singer 2.
Yes, I think Whale Singer 2 is probably my next script that I'm co-writing with the co-writer Jutta Merle-Bernsen. Mm-hmm. We came up with a really sweet, exciting story to expand the universe of the film. But I mean, that will still take at least 5 years or six before you see it on the big screen. And then I'm also supporting a new project of ours called Children of Gaia, mm-hmm. where I'm not the writer, but more like the creator of this mm-hmm. Brand. And that's also really exciting. It's more of an action fantasy universe mm-hmm. around teenage shamans. Mm. So it's a completely different thing, this time with humans for the first time in our company's history. So it'll be interesting to work on that as soon as we can.
Yeah. And that was it. Thank you so much for sitting down with us, Mirza. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Christina.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.